Welcome back to Read This Next with Laura and Nicole from the Thunder Bay Public Library. This week we are doing one of my favorite topics, which is books that have fairies in them.
Yes, we've talked about this topic a couple times before, and we looked at it before, and then we didn't do it originally because, as it happened, we had mentioned books with fairies in them in so many other episodes. We'd kind of already used a lot of the fairy books.
I wrecked all the wrecks.
Yes. But now it's like, I don't know, a year and a half later, something like that. And we have a nice long list of fairy titles. Yeah, to share.
So I'm going to be finding new ones to read. And Laura's going to be, you know, helping me find new ones to read. Because I know fairies aren't like necessarily your go-to.
No.
They are my go-to. They occupy a solid shelf.
We get to my rec, it's still fairies, but it has a different kind of style to it than probably some of these other books. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it. I am doing the first one, which is The Witch King by H.E. Edgeman. I have been looking at this one for months now and hoping and praying that the library would get it in stock. And obviously I missed it because I didn't know that it did yet. So here's the description.
It's in ebook.
Then
how you missed
it. So we don't have it yet. Okay.
We have it in cloud library.
Yeah, I'm a paper reader, so that makes sense.
Fair enough.
Wyatt would give anything to forget where he came from, but a kingdom demands its king. Azalin? Okay. Fae rule and witches like Wyatt Croft don't. Wyatt's betrothal to his best friend, Fae Prince Emir North, was supposed to change that. But when Wyatt lost control of his magic one devastating night, he fled to the human world. Now a coldly distant Emir has hunted him down. Despite transgender Wyatt's newfound identity and troubling past, Emir has no intention of dissolving their engagement. In fact, he claims they must marry now or risk losing the throne. Jaded, Wyatt strikes a deal with the enemy, hoping to escape Azalin forever. But as he gets to know Emir, Wyatt realizes the boy he once loved may still exist. And as the witches face worsening conditions, he must decide once and for all what's more important, his people or his freedom.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I feel like this is kind of like a friend's to enemies to lovers ? Yeah, we got a real trajectory.
We love to see it.
Yeah, we've got a real trajectory happening here.
Yeah, and the cover is so cool looking. Honestly, the cover says "All hail the king and king." I love it.
That is great. Mm-hmm. It reminds me. The cover reminds me of Doctor Who. It's probably just the colors. I'm a simple soul.
Also,
sometimes.
Like the color blocking, right? Like it's very. Like it's not shaded, it's like two-tone shades.
It reminds me a little bit Doctor Who-ish. Looks really good.
It does.
And that is a new title and it's number one in a series, so we'll see.
Of course.
We'll see where that goes next year when another book comes out. I'm sure.
I hope so. Waiting's hard.
Okay, our next one is another title that I think it's newer, last couple of years maybe. Very intense cover. The two women on the cover are having some serious eye contact. It's what's called A River of Royal Blood by Amanda Joy. An enthralling debut, perfect for fans of Children of Blood and Bone, set in a North African-inspired fantasy world where two sisters must fight to the death to win the crown. 16-year-old Eva is a princess born with the magic of marrow and blood, a dark and terrible magic that hasn't been seen for generations in the vibrant but fractured country of Myre. Its last known practitioner was Queen Rhaena, who toppled the native Kyrmer royalty and massacred thousands, including her own sister, 8 generations ago, thus beginning the rival heir tradition. Living in Rhaena's long and dark shadow, Eva must now face her older sister, Eva, in a battle to the death if she hopes to ascend to the ivory throne, because in the Queendom of Myre, only the strongest, most ruthless leaders survive. When Eva is attacked by an assassin just weeks before the battle with her sister, she discovers there is more to the attempt on her life than meets the eye, and it isn't just her sister who wants to see her dead. As tensions escalate, Eva is forced to turn to a fae instructor of mythic proportions and a mysterious and handsome Kiramor prince for help in growing her magic into something to fear. Because despite the love she still has for her sister, Eva will have to choose Issa's death or her own.
Ooh, that sounds like there's going to be a little, maybe, I'm hopeful that that handsome Kimir our prince, you know, maybe there's a little romance, but it sounds like there's going to be lots of good, like, tension between family. Like, that's going to be cool.
You know, the magic is serious because it's magic with a CK.
Oh, yeah.
It's not you just your legit. Basic magic. It's magic. So.
Yeah, and when they throw that Y in there instead of the I, I know they don't, but
yes,
then it's real.
Yep, then it's really serious business.
Yeah, so is that a YA?
I am not 100% sure, actually, now that you ask. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it says they're 16, so I imagine that they are, but the cover, I don't know why.
It may or may not be, but I imagine good for either.
Always. Our next one is The Hazelwood, which is part one of a series by Melissa Albert. Okay,
beautiful. I love beautiful the cover book. Yeah, the cover's gorgeous.
I think the second one is like more white and the third one might be red. I could be wrong.
Very nice.
They look really pretty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 17-year-old Alice and her mother have spent most of Alice's life on the road, always a step ahead of the uncanny bad luck biting at their heels. But when Alice's grandmother, the reclusive author of a cult classic book of... Oh, there's a lot of dashes in this sentence. The reclusive author of a cult classic book of pitch-dark fairy tales dies alone on her estate, the Hazelwood, Alice learns how bad her luck can really get. Her mother is stolen away by a figure who claims to come from the hinterland, the cruel supernatural world where her grandmother's stories are set. Oh, okay.
Right. It's a Alice good... is. Yeah.
Alice's only lead is the message her mother left behind. Stay away from the Hazelwood. Alice has long steered clear of her grandmother's cultish fans, but now she has no choice but to ally with classmate Ellery Finch, a hinterland superfan who may have his own reasons for wanting to help her. To retrieve her mother, Alice must venture first to the Hazelwood, then into the world where her grandmother's tale began, where she might find out how her own story went so wrong. I love when people write books about a land that nobody believes exists.
That's like one of my things. It's not one of my things, but that's one of your things, I guess. Those super specific little bits of story that you're like, I'm into that.
I'm into those.
Yeah, that's like me and you know, Noah's Ark revisionist stories.
I was thinking this.
I'm into that.
We still need to do that one.
I know. Someday we'll do it.
Yeah, that's super cool. I love it.
It sounds very, very good indeed. Very good indeed. And I think that's a complete series, I want to say.
I think so. I think it was a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This next one is an older book. Mm-hmm. It's one that it might even have come out right about the time that I started, which makes it ancient and like 10 years old. But I remember it especially because it was sort of at the beginning of queer retellings of fairy tales. This is sort of like at the forefront of those. Ash by Melinda Lowe. And it is it's a lesbian Cinderella. Delightful. In the wake of her father's death, Ash is left at the mercy of her cruel stepmother. Consumed with grief, her only joy comes by the light of the dying hearth fire, rereading the fairy tales her mother once told her. In her dreams, someday the fairies will steal her away, as they are said to do. When she meets the dark and dangerous fairy, I'm going to say this name wrong. I bet it's...
Kaisa?
Ooh, I don't know. Kaisa? Oh, no, not that one.
Oh, I'm reading one. Further down.
There's a dangerous fairy name. I'm not going to say it. But there's a dangerous fairy.
You know
fairy.
It's Irish.
I know, that's why I'm saying I'm going to say it wrong. There's a dark like and Siobhan, dangerous. But it's something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a dark and dangerous Irish fairy, and she believes her wish may be granted. The day that Ash meets Kaisa, the king's huntress, her heart begins to change. Instead of chasing fairies, Ash learns to hunt with Kaisa. Though their friendship is as delicate as a new bloom, it reawakens Ash's capacity for love and her desire to live. But the fairy has already claimed Ash for his own, and she must make the choice between fairy tale dreams and true love. Entrancing, empowering, and romantic, Ash is about the connection between life and love, solitude and death, where transformation can come from even the deepest grief.
Very cute. And obviously, Ash is like Cinderella.
So. Indeed. Cinder, Ash.
Yeah, that's going to be a cute retelling.
Yes.
A retelling that doesn't just follow the ending, I hope.
Yes, it's a more complex telling. She uses it as a springboard and goes in new directions.
I love it. We love it. Okay, this next one is These Hollow Vows, which is another series. I think the first one just came out last year.
Yes.
By Lexi Ryan. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you've noticed the number of covers that look very similar to this style.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I found the author, not the author, the illustrator, and I think it's a lady. I don't remember.
She's getting
their name
of
is
work.
Charlie. My brownies. One sec, I gotta go get my brownies.
Sure.
They'll burn. Okay, here we go. Right. So I was looking up who has been doing all of these fabulous illustrations, because like Margaret Rogerson has this, I think, one sec. That's better. Margaret Rogerson has like art like this on her books, and it's such a specific style, but the illustrator's name is Charlie Bowater, I think. And that explains why, if you're into the series that I like, you're seeing this kind of style everywhere. Yeah. So keep that in mind, that this is a real person illustrated this, and it looks really cool. Okay.
It's kind of neat, because so often they don't, like, who the illustrators don't really get any attention. Their names don't really get out there.
Yeah.
So but good this on one you did. For looking it yeah. up. Shouting them
yeah.
out.
Yeah. There's a whole Goodreads list that's just like, here's Charlie Bowater books. And I was like, I'm into all of them.
That's
yeah.
neat. That's very
I'll
neat.
Send you a link afterwards.
Okay. Send me the link. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, this is described as A Cruel Prince Meets a Court of Thorns and Roses. So for those of you that know, this is why we want to read it. Okay. Bree hates the Fae and refuses to have anything to do with them, even if that means starving on the street. But when her sister is sold to the sadistic king of the Unseelie Court to pay a debt, she'll do whatever it takes to get her back, including making a deal with the king himself to steal 3 magical relics from the Seelie Court. Gaining unfettered access to the Seelie Court is easier said than done. Bree's only choice is to pose as a potential bride for Prince Ronan, and she soon finds herself falling for him. Yes! unwilling to let her heart distract her, she accepts help from a band of Unseelie misfits with their own agenda. As Bree spends time with their mysterious leader, Finn, she struggles to resist his seductive charm.
Oh, boy.
Caught between two dangerous courts, Bree must decide who has her loyalty and who to trust with her heart.
I feel like we've lost track of her sister. Maybe.
I forgot this was about anything other than her falling in love. What's important here is love.
Sounds like there's a lot going on, but you know, yeah. Fun. She's getting in there, mixing it up.
Yeah. And I will say, if you haven't read, it's part of my rec later, the ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses series, but go read Cruel Prince 2. We've wrecked that one before. Holly Black also has Tithe, which is amazing. Go check those out.
Very good. Okay, our next one is a standalone book called The Memory Theater by Karen Tidbeck. In a world just parallel to ours exists a mystical realm known only as the Gardens. It is a place where the feasts never end. Games of croquet have devastating consequences. All right, I'm into that. Love croquet. Mm-hmm. Love it. And teenagers are punished for growing up. I mean, isn't growing up the punishment?
Well,
that's a dark, wrong. That's a dark joke. It's a dark joke. Okay, sorry, carrying on. For a select group of masters, it's a decadent paradise where time stands still. For those who serve them, however, it's a slow torture where their lives can be ended in a blink. In a bid to escape before their youth betrays them, Dora and Thistle, best friends and confidants, set out on a remarkable journey through time and space. Traveling between their world and ours, they hunt the one person who can grant them freedom. Along the way, they encounter a mysterious traveler who trades in favors and never forgets debts, a crossroads at the center of the universe, our own world on the brink of war, and a traveling troupe of actors with the ability to unlock the fabric of reality. Endlessly inventive, the Memory Theater takes the reader to a wondrous place where destiny has yet to be written, life is a performance, and magic can erupt at any moment. It is Karen Tubek's most engrossing and irresistible tale yet. Sounds amazing.
That does sound really good. I will say, I don't know why, but I'm getting Alice in Wonderland vibes. Maybe it was because it started with croquet. I don't know. It seems very like mystical in its own, just kind of going in multiple ways in one place.
Yeah,
and that description sounds weird, but that's yeah.
And I like the two of them on a journey, encountering different people, getting things done. Sounds very, very good.
It sounds good. And this one is, most of the ones that we've wrecked so far are in the young adult section. This is adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Our next one is Walk the Wild with Me, which is, yeah, by Rachel Atwood, Irene Radford, and C.F. Bentley. Three authors. Okay. Well, the cover says just Rachel Atwood, so.
Mystery.
Yeah. Okay. We'll figure that out. Go check it out. Tell us what's up with that. Orphaned when still a toddler, Nicholas Withybeck knows no other home than Locksley Abbey outside Nottingham, England. Prepare for me to stumble on this whole paragraph. Here we go. He works in the scriptorium, embellishing illuminated manuscripts with the hidden faces of the wild folk and whimsical creatures that he sees every time he ventures into the woods and fields. His curiosity leads him into forbidden nooks and crannies both inside and outside the abbey, and he becomes adept at hiding to stay out of trouble. On one of these forays, Nick slips into the crypt beneath the abbey, where he finds an altar older than the abbey's foundations, ancient when the Romans occupied England. Behind the bricks around the altar, he finds a palm-sized silver cup. The cup is embellished with the three figures of Elena, the Celtic goddess of crossroads, sorcery, and cemeteries. He carries the cup with him always, listening as the goddess whispers wisdom in the back of his mind. That's a little suspicious. Like, why are you carrying this cup everywhere? This is very one ring.
Sounds like a cursed item, perhaps.
Yeah, not good. And it's talking to him? With Elena's cup in his pocket, Nick can see the masked dancers at the May Day celebration in the local village are actually the creatures of the wood. The green men, known to mortals as Little John and Robin Goodfellow, the huntsmen.
Carry on.
What?
No, carry on. Like,
Robin! Hearn the huntsmen, dryads, trolls, and water sprites. Theirs are the faces he's seen and drawn into his illuminations. Guided by Elena along the secret forest path, Nick learns that Little John's love has been kidnapped by Queen Mab of the Fairies. The door to the fairy mound will only open when the moons of the two realms align. That time is fast approaching. Nick must release Elena so that she can use sorcery to unlock that door, allowing Nick's band of friends to try and rescue the girl. Will he have the courage to release her as his predecessor did not? That could go two ways.
Could be a trick.
Could be a trick. I guess we'll find out.
Guess so.
Yeah, now, it sounds very winding.
Yes. As soon as you said Locksley Manor, I was like, I know Locksley. Robin O'Locksley. That's Robin Hood's actual name.
Oh.
That's his family name. Robin Hood is just a nickname, a folk name that they call him. But yes, he was Robin O'Locksley. Yeah, and then of course Little John, right? And then are all the other like merry men in there? You know, we get to say like some Maid Marian. So. Is there some Will Scarlet? Fun.
I mean, who did they say was the...
They said Little John. It was
Little John's love. So was that... I guess we'll find out. I love when they tie... Like, to me, fairies seem separate from, like, Robin Hood. But I've read another book where Robin Goodfellow was in it.
Oh, really?
I guess he... Yeah. I can't remember what it was now. I've read a lot of fairy books. But that one sounds really good.
Yes, it does. Sounds good. I will say that description, I feel like that description included a lot.
Yeah, I feel that's why I said it felt very winding. Like it was like, oh, we're just watching things and we're looking and now we have to get out, release this lady from a cup. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. We got to get her out.
Yeah. Feels like a lot, but you know, sounds still not a bad thing necessarily.
It sounded like we were reading the book already.
A little bit. Yeah. They may have overdone the description a little this time, but that's mm-hmm. okay. All right. Next is The Will and the Wilds by Charlie N. Holmberg. Anna knows to fear the mistings. Oops, I just made this window big and I lost my book description. Okay. Emma and start over.
Yeah.
Anna knows to fear the mistings that roam the wildwood near her home. When one tries to kill her to obtain an enchanted stone, Anna takes a huge risk, fighting back with a misting of her own. Michaelis's help isn't free. His price? A kiss. One with the power to steal her soul. But their deal leaves Michaelis bound to the mortal realm, which begins eating him alive. Only Anna's kiss, giving willingly, can save him from immediate destruction. It's a temporary salvation for Michaelis and a lingering doom for Anna. Part of her soul now burns bright inside Michaelis, making him feel for the first time. Anna shares Michaelis' suffering, but her small sacrifice won't last long. If she and Michaelis can't break the spell binding him to the mortal realm, Michaelis will be consumed completely, and Anna's soul with him.
Ooh. That sounds very angsty and very much like, will they, won't they?
Yes.
I don't know.
You know what it reminds me of actually is not a piece of published fiction, but it reminds me very much of a piece of fan fiction I've read actually.
Of course.
If you're not familiar with fan fiction, it's when usually amateur writers, often generally speaking online, take properties of either books or movies or TV shows that already exist and then write their own stories using those characters or that setting, some aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And that's fan fiction. Well, these Good Omens by Neil Gaiman, which was a TV show recently. Well, not that recently anymore, I guess, but it was a TV show and it's also a book. I read quite a lot of fan fiction in that fandom. And there's a story about one of the main guy that is a snaky demon being an enchanted snake. And the other one is, instead of being an angel, they are a human. And similar deal making occurs. It's good. Maybe I'll link to that in the comment in the show notes too. It's a good one. It is always a good one.
Fan fiction's always good.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. Someday, maybe.
Bad stuff. But
there's a lot of bad stuff too. Maybe someday we'll do a fan fiction only episode. That could be fun.
We've been talking about that for a while. We really should do it.
We should do it.
Well, those are all of our like highlights. Yes. So I guess we'll go into our recs. Now, I don't want to bore anybody. So I'm going to just tell you straight off the bat. If you haven't read A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, like me, Laura, let me tell you what.
Tell me.
You're making a mistake. I had not read these books. And this is coming from someone who says, I love fairies. Yes. Fairy books are great. And here I am sitting here for these past however many weeks
years
we've been filming this. Yeah, and how many years alive, having not read this series of books. It is so good. I understand now. I will say, for those of you that read it, it is spicy. The first book is in YA and it is spicier than I anticipated for YA. So keep that in mind. But it's a series of like 4.5 books and follows a main character named Farah. I don't know. don't know how to pronounce it. Think it's something like fair.
Sure.
But it's really good. Basically, she's a human who is, their family is starving. They're suddenly poor and she's hunting for survival, very Katniss of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's out in the woods and she's heard rumors that like the fairies have been patrolling the woods as like giant wolves. And she's just like, I hate fairies. Shoots an arrow through one of the giant wolf's hearts. But she's like trying to convince herself. She's like, oh no, that was just a regular wolf. Because I'd be in big trouble if that was a fairy. Well, what do you know? It was a fairy. And then the fairy that rules over that court, the spring court, whisks her away and is like, you broke the treaties and blah, blah, blah. And then they slowly fall in love. It's dramatic. It's amazing. It takes you to another world where there's so much happening. And then if you, the second book's even better. So I would just say, if you read A Court of Thorns and Roses and you're like, this isn't really for me, read the second book and you'll be like, this is for me.
Does it follow the same characters throughout?
I can't give too much away.
Okay.
The main character, Fair, whatever. She is the main character for the first like 3.5. I say 3.5 because one of them isn't technically a full book, but they've published it as if it is.
Okay.
So it's kind of listed as like 3.1. No, not really. It's like 300 pages. Okay. Anyways, I don't know. Anyways, the first, let's just pretend it is a full book. The first four books are with Farrah. And then the fifth book is with her sister, and it's like she's the main character now.
Sure.
I will tell you, this is the one that got moved. This series is infamous for having started in YA and then got moved to adult. I get it. It got the spice level. It went up. And I was like, how did it go up from these past books? And it did. So, warning.
What she's saying,
if you're reading it.
It's not PG-13.
No. I wouldn't. The first books are not PG-13.
Some libraries have put them in adult. Nicole suggested that we should consider the same.
You're not walking in blindly, you know?
I should probably read it.
You should. Honestly, it's really good. I lent it to our coworker patients.
Yes.
And I'm getting everybody my age to read it because I'm like, read this book. It's so good. And my friends at camp this summer, I was like, oh guys, I'm looking for some new books to read. And they're like, have you read A Court of Thorns and Roses? And I was like, I am ashamed. I have not. And then I did. And I'm like, where was I? Now I have to go read her other series because apparently it's just as good.
Well, she's got lots of stuff. She is very prolific.
Like, yeah, she's got a ton
of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I will say though, the fifth book in it's called the ACOTAR series. It was like a chonk. It was, it's in the other room. It was 600 to 700 pages. It's huge.
So many.
So there's a lot to read. It's good.
It'll keep you going for a while, is what we're getting at.
Yeah, like I read that in a few days. So usually it's like a one day reader right here. Took me a few.
More to love.
Anyways, so I recommend all fairy books and go check out our previous episodes. But here is Laura's recommendation.
Yes. Okay. So if you've been watching for a while, then you know that I'm not, generally speaking, a big fantasy person, more inclined towards sci-fi, if anything else. I certainly read a certain amount of like paranormal, supernatural stuff, but not high fantasy. So this is a fairy one. It's a series. It's an adult series. There's three books on it. It's completed. It's a trilogy. And the series is called The Arcadia Project. Book one is Borderline by Michelle Baker. And here's the description. Okay. A year ago, Millie lost her legs and her filmmaking career in a failed suicide attempt. Just when she's sure the credits have rolled on her life story, she gets a second chance with the Arcadia Project, a secret organization that polices the traffic to and from a parallel reality filled with creatures straight out of myth and fairy tales. For her first assignment, Millie is tasked with tracking down a missing movie star who also happens to be a nobleman of the Seeley court. To find him, she'll have to smooth-talk Hollywood power players and uncover the surreal and sometimes terrifying truth behind the glamour of Tinseltown. But stronger forces than just her inner demons are sabotaging her progress, and if she fails to unravel the conspiracy behind the noble's disappearance, not only will she be out on the streets, but the shattering of a centuries-old peace could spark an all-out war between worlds.
Ooh.
So it's sort
no pressure,
of like
it says.
No pressure. Yeah. it's the urban fantasy genre, basically, right? Where it's like real world stuff, just with a lot of fantasy layered over top. Now
a lot more grounded.
One of the fun things about this character, or about this story choice, is that she, because of the aforementioned suicide attempt where she lost her legs and she had many other injuries. So it's, first of all, she's a representation of like a disabled character, which you don't see tons of, and especially as the main character. But also significantly to this story, she has a lot of iron embedded in her body in various places. Cause very often if they're repairing things, they'll do screws and stuff of iron. And that has an impact because in most fairy books, iron is something you can use against fairies. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that comes into play. So if the fairies try to like enchant her or whatever, yeah, glamour her, it won't work because of her, like what she has seen as, you know, obviously she sees as a you know, a negative trying to live her life, and she's had all these injuries and everything. Well, now it can be like a big benefit in this work she's trying to do, where they're basically like policing and trying to track movement. Yeah, but it's also a little tragic because it interfered. I don't want to spoil something. It interferes with her developing like friendships or relationships with fairies who have that sensitivity to iron.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
whereas
an allergy,
basically. It's an, yeah. So whereas she, you know, there's some characters that she would like to bond more with, become closer to, and she can't because of this. Yeah, it's good. It's a good mystery. Like she's trying to track things down. All three of the books are mysteries. So in some ways they're kind of just like a detective stories.
Yeah.
And there's also fun sort of like workplace dynamics because it's her and like the Arcadia Project, it's a big agency and they house their agents, and it's very dangerous, but they house them. So she like lives with her coworkers. And so there's like, you know, the one that's awkward that nobody wants to talk to. And then there's the one that does the cooking. And then there's the one who kind of is like the mom of the house. And then also
it's like roommates.
And when she first meets them, she, you know, has different perceptions of them, and she gets to know them, feels differently. And then of course, in some instances, when you know it, they are not human. There's more to them, you know, that also explains more about who they are. Anyway, very complex.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. Very complex world building, like lots of details. The author's thought tons of stuff through to make, you know, it's not obviously not realistic exactly, but like has come up with explanations, in world explanations for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Fun one. Adult
series.
Book. It's a series. Yeah.
That's
recommended.
Really good.
That's my fairy recommendation.
I love it. This is unlike me when we roll up and it's like, Nicole, do you have a recommendation for Laura's favorite genre? I'm like, no. Laura's like, I have one. She came up clutch.
I don't even see it. I read it like a while back. I don't even remember what made me pick it up. It might have honestly just been the cover.
Cover's pretty cool.
It's good. And then I recommended it to one of our coworkers, and she also enjoyed it. Ruth, you read it and she liked it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You got two people who recommend it from the library. All right. Anything else to add, or should I wrap up?
You can wrap up, I think.
Okay. Thank you for joining us this week. You can always find our show notes in case you missed a title or an author on www.tbplofftheshelf.com, Please like, follow, subscribe on any podcast platform. Leave us 5 stars. We're on YouTube at TBayPL. And yeah, we will catch you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.